I was potty trained to Sesame Street. I loved Sesame Street. I loved Ernie and Bert. I loved Oscar. I loved Grover. I loved Big Bird. I loved it all. I just really enjoyed it. And my mother would sit me down on my red racing potty. Now, my potty wasn't red. It was a wooden potty. But on the back of it was a red racing rabbit. And I'm old enough to where Sesame Street was new back when I was little. And I would sit there and I would watch. Now, my favorite character on Sesame Street was this little blonde Muppet whose name is Prairie Dawn. And the reason why I liked Prairie Dawn was because Prairie Dawn was saying things that nobody else in my world was saying. Prairie Dawn would say things like, "Girls can be strong." Now, when I was little, that was one thing girls were not supposed to be. Girls were supposed to be weak, and they were supposed to be helpless, because if you weren't weak and helpless, no man would come and rescue you. And apparently, the goal of every woman was to be rescued by some man. Prairie Dawn also said, "Girls are smart." And that was also something I wasn't hearing a lot in my world. In fact, there was a little saying that a lot of contemporary young girls just, they've never heard before, and it goes like this. Boys won't make passes at girls who wear glasses. If you were too smart, boys would not like you. You would be too intimidating. Another thing Prairie Dawn said was, "Girls can do things. We are capable." And again, you're not supposed to be capable, because if you're capable, then what man will save you? You will be unsavable and therefore unmarriable, and you will go through your life, you will be a crazy old cat lady at some point. Of course, at that point, I wasn't worried about being an old crazy cat lady. But I found Prairie Dawn fascinating. There was something else going on when I was little. The Vietnam War. And in the news, we were hearing about radicals and people who were trying to upturn the normal order of things. And there was one group of people in particular who were causing lots and lots of trouble. And those people were feminists. Feminists were getting above themselves. Feminists were destroying the family. Feminist, feminist, feminist. I had no idea what a feminist was. But I must tell you that when my mother got together with her friends, why, they talked about feminism and how it was destroying the country while their husbands were off fighting for us. What I didn't know at the time is what it means to be a feminist is that you believe women are strong, and you believe women are smart, and that you believe women are capable. And so it was that even as I was cowering from the idea of feminists coming to destroy our family, one of my favorite characters in all the world was the very first feminist I'd ever met. So this story, Clever Manka, is about strong women. Now, a long time ago, there was a saying, and it went like this: nothing good ever comes of women who are clever. Now, I know, you probably have never heard that before, but I assure you, quite some time ago, it was a saying that lots of people knew. And there was a farmer, and he married a lovely young woman, and they had a daughter. And unfortunately, as happens many times in history, the mother died, and the father was left to raise his daughter by himself. And he was doing the best he could, but when she was about 5 years old, he realized something about her that terrified him. This young woman, she was smart. His five-year-old saw him trying to do something in the kitchen, and she walked up and she said, "Father, you should try to do it like this." And he said, "Oh, you're five, what do you know?" And he dismissed her. But after she had gone and he thought about it, he did what she said and it worked. And he thought, "Oh, no, she's clever. She's really clever." And he went to her and he said, you know, it's not appropriate for you to tell men what to do." She said, "What if they are doing something wrong?" "Well, you're still not supposed to tell them." "Why?" "Because you're a girl." "I know I am a girl. Why can't I say what's right?" Because you just shouldn't." "I don't understand." "Well, just trust me." Well, she wasn't necessarily the trusting type about such things, and she continued to point out when he should try to do something a different way. as she got a little older, he started taking her into town. The first day he did that, she saw two men arguing. She stopped, she listened to both sides, and she said, "Excuse me, you're both wrong. You should try it like this." And at first they didn't know what to say, and then they looked at each other and started laughing and said, "You're right." And her father ran over and grabbed her arm and said, "Monka, come here. What are you doing? You can't just walk up to men and talk like..." "But why?" "Because you can't." "But I did." "But you're not supposed to." "Why not?" "Because you're just not." "Dude, stop." But she couldn't help herself. She helped people solve problems. And her father said, "If you keep this up, no one is ever going to marry you, because nothing good ever comes of women who are clever." And she said, "Oh, father, don't oh father me. Do as I say." But she didn't. Eventually, she got old enough. Men started to come to the house, and at first her father thought they were coming to court her, but they weren't coming to court her. They were coming to ask her questions. And her father realized that she really was not going to get married. Now, for some people, this might not seem to be a big deal, so she decided not to get married. So what? Well, you need to understand, back in these days, women weren't allowed to own property. And if they didn't have a husband or a father to look after them, they ended up living on the streets, living wild and rough out in the countryside. Unless, of course, they had some kind of money that they could use. And she didn't have any money. She was a really poor young lady. Her father knew that if she didn't get married, her life was going to be miserable. And his worst fears came true, because Monka got older and older and older and older. Older and older, and then she was 16 years old and she wasn't married. Men still kept coming to ask her advice. In fact, lots of them wouldn't bother to take that long trip to see the king. Why, they would just come to Monka and ask. Her father didn't know what to do. And of course it got worse, because she got older and older and older, and then she was 19. And not only was she not married, she didn't have any children. She was definitely heading towards being an old, unwanted maid. Nothing good ever comes of women who are clever. One day he was out thinking about how sad his life was and how sad it was going to be when he died and his poor daughter was going to be... Tink, 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 and he hit something in the ground, tink, tink, and he dug it up, and he held it up, and it turned out to be the blade of a spade. But it was from some long-ago civilization. It was made of solid gold. He ran in the house, and he washed it off, and he held it up. It was beautiful. He said, this will help us. And Monka came in, and she said, "Father, what do you mean?" He said, look what I found. She said, "Oh, it's gorgeous, Father. Thank you. This gold will help me after you pass away and I'm alone." No. That's not what we're going to do with this. I'm going to take this golden spade to the king." And she said, "Father, why would you do that?" "Well, don't you see? I'm going to give it to him. And then after I die, you go see the king and you say, 'Hey, remember when my father gave you that present? Well, now I need some help.' And the king will help you." She said, "That is the dumbest plan I've ever heard, Father. Look, just give it to me. I will figure..." "No, I'm not going to give it to you. The king will help us." She said, "Father, kings are notoriously greedy and ridiculous. If you give him the blade of this spade, he's going to say, 'Oh, the blade is beautiful. Where's the handle?' He's not going to say that." "Yes, he is." "He is not going to say that." "Yes, he is. I'll prove to you he's not going to say it." And the farmer picked up that spade and went off to see the king. And he stood in that long line. He was so excited to show this thing to the king. And he got to the front and he gave the spade to one of the courtiers. And the courtiers ran over and gave it to the king. And the king unwrapped it and looked at it and said, "Farmer, this blade is beautiful. Where is the handle?" And the farmer couldn't believe it. He said, "Oh my gosh, she said you were going to say that. I can't believe she was right." The king's face froze, and he said, "Are you telling me that there's some woman who could predict what the king was going to say?" And the farmer said, "Okay, so I have this daughter, and she thinks she's clever. I'm sure she's not as clever as she thinks she is, but she might have said maybe that you might have said that, but, you know, she's not that clever. I mean, sometimes people come and see her to ask questions of her instead of coming all the way to see you, but, yeah, that right. And the king just looked at him. "So your daughter is clever, is she? She's so clever she can answer questions better than I. Well, I'd like to meet her." And he looked around, and he was standing right near some beautiful silk curtains. And he reached out, and he pulled a thread out of one of the curtains. It was a pretty long silk thread. And he handed it to one of his courtiers and said, "Take this to the farmer." And the courtier came and gave the thread to the farmer, and he looked at it. He said, what shall I do with this?" He said, "You take that to your daughter. If she is so clever, tell her I want her to use that string to make curtains for every room in my castle. And if she can't, then I'm going to kill her. Tomorrow, you bring back my curtains or you bring back your daughter. And when you bring your daughter here, I'm going to cut off her head." And the farmer said, "Your Majesty, please," he said, "you do as I say. Bring me the curtains or bring me your daughter." And the farmer bowed and he left. And as he walked home, he thought, nothing good ever comes of women who are clever. And he got home and he said, "Do you know what you did?" And Manka said, "Father, I haven't been anywhere today. I'm pretty sure I didn't do anything." "No, you did this. This is your fault. I mean, the king somehow found out that you were really clever. How he found out is not important, but he did find out. And what I want to say is he's really upset. He's upset. And so he gave me this piece of thread, and he said that you had to make curtains out of this thread for every room in his castle. And if you can't, I'm to bring you to him tomorrow, and he's going to cut off your head. My poor daughter, nothing good ever comes of women who are clever." And she said, "Oh, father, this is not a problem." "What do you mean it's not a problem?" "It isn't." And she went over to the fireplace, and she pulled a thin stick off of one of the pieces of wood. And she said, "You take this stick to the king tomorrow, and you tell him that as soon as he makes a spinning wheel out of this stick, I will happily make him all the curtains he wants out of that piece of thread." He said, "I can't do that." She goes, "Do it, father." Okay, I will. And all the way to the castle, he kept saying to himself, "Nothing good ever comes of women who are clever. Nothing good ever comes of women who are clever." And he got to the castle, and he stood in line. And the king noticed him, and he noticed that he did not have his daughter, and he did not have any curtains. And when he got forward right to the front of the line, the king said, "I don't see my curtains, and I don't see your daughter." And the farmer said, "Well, my daughter says she'll happily make you your curtains just as soon as you make her a spinning wheel out of this little stick." Everyone in the throne room froze and looked over at the king. And instead of being angry or frowning, he starts laughing. He said, "Your daughter is pretty clever. All right. I really do want to meet her now. Bring her to the castle, but she can't come during the day or at night. And she can't come walking, and she can't come riding. And she can't come with her stomach full, and she can't come with it empty. And I don't want her to have any clothes on, and I don't want her to be naked. If she can't come like that, when she gets here, I will cut off her head." And the farmer said, "But your Majesty, I've made my decision. Go." And of course, the farmer slunk out of the throne room, and the entire time he was going home, he thought, "Oh, nothing good ever comes of women who are clever, my poor, poor daughter." And he got home, and he said, "Well, now you're in trouble." "Okay, father, what happened?" "Well, I told the king about the spinning wheel, and now he wants to meet you, only he... "Only what?" "Well, look, he wants you to come at neither day or night, and you can't be stomach empty, and it can't be full, you can't be riding, and you can't be walking, and you can't have clothes on, you can't be naked. You can't do that," she said. "Yes, father, I can." "Ugh." Well, the first thing, she went down to the water's edge, and she bought some fishing net. And then she went to the stables, and she got herself a really small donkey. She fasted for the rest of the day, and then, before she went to see the king, she took off her dress, and she put on the fishing nets. She wasn't naked. She wasn't wearing clothes. She put one leg over that little donkey and one foot on the ground. She wasn't riding. She wasn't walking. She kind of limp-stepped all the way to the castle, and she got there just at that moment when false dawn is there. So it's not nighttime, because it's a little bright, and it's not morning, because the sun hasn't come up. and she'd been fasting since her father told her what she needed to do, and she took a bite out of a cracker. Her stomach wasn't empty. It wasn't full. And she started hammering on the doors of the castle. Let me in right now. The guard said, who are you? Why are you like this? She said, the king wants to see me right now. If you don't let me in right now, he will be angry. Go and get him. We cannot wake up the king. You have to wake up the king. This is what he wanted. And so they got the king. He came down. He looked at this ridiculous scene in front of him and said, I'm too tired to deal with this right now. Find this girl someplace to sleep and I'll deal with her later. Well, later on, she was wearing a very nice dress, and I must say, Manka was quite lovely as she stood before the king. And the king said, what am I to do with you, Manka? You have embarrassed me in front of my court 3 times. And she said, oh, your majesty, it's okay. You can drop the act. I know what you're up to. And the king said, oh, do you? She said, yes, of course. You've been setting me tests to see if I'm worthy to be the queen. Have I passed them to your satisfaction? Everyone in the throne room looked at the king with admiration and wonder in their eyes, and the king looked back at them and thought, aha. He sat straight up and he said, yes, that's exactly what I was doing, and you have passed them. And so now you shall be the queen. We shall get married, we'll have a big celebration, and you will join me on the throne. And Manka said, I would be honored to do so. Now, when she went home, her father was not happy about this. He said, have you lost your mind? Like, I love you, and I put up with you, because, well, I'm your father. But the king is not going to be so kind. If you make him upset, terrible things could happen to you. She said, father, it's going to be okay. It is not going to be okay. It's, women who think they're clever. Nothing good ever comes of women who are clever. The king is not going to put up with you. I'll just keep your room ready. Maybe if you're lucky, he'll just throw you out. So Manka went back to the castle, and she and the king spent a month together, talking and enjoying themselves while the celebration was being put together. And during that time, the king realized something. Manka was definitely cleverer than he was, and he didn't want anyone to know. So he went to her and he said, you know, Manka, let's you and I make a deal together. And she said, all right, what's that? He said, I think that we should keep our business separate. You don't get involved in king's business, and I will leave you to do queen's business. Just don't get involved in what I'm doing. And she said, I think that's a very good deal. Well, because the king was marrying a commoner, people from all over the kingdom wanted to come and watch the wedding. And the result of that were that the taverns and the inns filled up, and there was no place to stay. Now, out in the countryside, there was a poor man and his wife, and they had a very pregnant horse. And they didn't want to leave their horse at their home, because they were afraid it would have a foal, and then if there was any complications, they might lose both animals. They didn't have so much that they could afford to do that. So he brought his very pregnant horse to the wedding. Now, the poor people, well, they weren't planning to stay in the taverns or the inns. They rented little plots of lands out in fields, and they'd tie up their horses or cows or whatever it is they brought with them to the wedding. Now, because the taverns and inns were full, merchants were doing the same thing that the poor people were doing. And a rich merchant tied his cart right next to this poor man's pregnant horse. Well, during the wedding, the horse had the foal, and that baby horse ended up sleeping underneath the cart. After the wedding was done, the rich man came back to his cart and discovered a baby horse underneath it, and said, well, look at that. My cart has had a baby horse. Well, the poor man said, no, don't be ridiculous. My horse had that baby horse. My horse was pregnant, and now it's not. That horse clearly belongs to me. The baby horse belongs to me. And the rich man said, no, it doesn't. It was under my cart. It belongs to me. And the two of them had this big argument about it. And the guards broke them up, and they went to see the king on his wedding day. And the king, why, he was in high spirits. And the two men presented their sides. And the king looked at that poor man, and he thought to himself, oh, what's he going to be able to do for me? Well, probably nothing. But this rich man, this merchant, well, I might have cause for money. and I would need his support, perhaps. I will give him the baby horse. And so he did. He took that poor man's baby horse and he gave it to the merchant. And the poor man was devastated, and his wife was weeping. And they were leaving, and one of the courtiers said, "Excuse us. Psst. Go talk to the queen." And so that's what the poor farmer did. He went to the place where the queen had a big gate by her garden, and he waited patiently until one of the guards noticed him and asked him what he was doing there, and he said he had desperate need to speak to the queen, matter of justice. And the guard was intrigued, and he let him in, and he told the queen what had happened. And the queen said, this is what you do. Well, the next day, the day after the wedding, the king was with his men, and they were riding down the road when they saw something strange. There was a man sitting on an upturned bucket with a fishing pole, and he had a worm on the end of the hook, and he was banging the hook up against the road. The very confused worm was trying to figure out what was going on. The king was as confused as the worm. He stopped and watched the man banging that hook up against the road. And finally, he said, "Excuse me, what on earth are you doing?" And the man looked up and said, "Well, what does it look like, Your Majesty? I am fishing." And the king said, "You are an idiot. You can't catch fish in the middle of a road." And the man smiled and said, "If a cart can give birth to a baby horse, I should be able to catch fish in the middle of this road." And the king realized that he had just called himself an idiot. He went back into the castle, called the farmer and the merchant together. He gave the baby horse to the farmer, and he was furious because he knew exactly where that idea had come from. He stormed the castle into the queen's chambers and said, "We've only been married for a day, and you already broke your promise. You said you were not going to get involved in my business, and you did." And she said, "Oh, I didn't get involved in your business, Your Majesty. I got involved in the farmer's business." The king frowned. He said, No, you're not getting away with this time." And he and the queen had an argument. He was so angry. He said, "I don't want you here anymore. You can't be trusted. Keep your mouth shut. Go home." And he slammed out of her chambers and went back into his rooms. He was so angry. But after a while, he calmed down. And he realized, yeah, she had been right. He had done something unjust. Still, he couldn't have a woman in his castle who was going to behave like this. And then he realized that if he sent her home, she really would be in trouble. Her father was very poor. When he died, the woman who was queen for a day was going to be walking around in the countryside begging? Oh, that couldn't happen. But he'd already made his decision. He couldn't go back on his word. The women in his rooms had heard it, and servants knew what he'd said. If he went back on his word, he would look weak. But he had a way to kind of solve that problem. He went through the castle, and he saw all the beautiful things. Golden crowns, diamond tiaras, big pots of gold, bags of gold. If Manka had money, then she wouldn't have to worry about it. When her father died, she would be able to use that money to help herself. So he went to Manka, and he said to her, "I'm so sorry that we argued, but you realize you cannot stay here." And she said, "I do understand that. Your word is important. You must keep it." "Yes, but I want you to understand this. I care for you, and I don't want you to be alone in the world. And so, I want you to go through the castle and find the thing you love the most. Take it home with you. As a rich woman, I'm sure there are men who might not mind having such a clever wife." And she said, "Thank you. And because you've been so kind to me, I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to make you dinner." And he said, "Well, I appreciate that." And so she brought him a dinner and a lot of wine. In the morning, the king woke up and he found himself in a very strange place. The ceilings were low, and there was the smell of peat smoke. And he got out of his bed and put on his royal robe, which was sitting right there. He came into the next room, and there was Manka spinning. And he said, "Where am I, and what am I doing here?" And she said, "Well, Your Majesty, you said I could take the thing out of the castle I love the most. And I love you. And I'm keeping you." And at that point, the king gave up. He and Manka went back to the castle. From that day forward, he sat with Manka when people came in, and the two of them shared their decisions about justice and injustice. And some days the king just went fishing, and Manka sat on the throne herself and listened to people's petitions. The two of them became quite a team and ruled their kingdom wisely. And one of the very first things that Manka did was to strike down that saying. Which is why, until this moment, you've never heard anybody say, "Nothing good ever comes of women who are clever." And that is the story of Clever Manka.